Welcome to Your Typical Shonen Protagonist. He's Kai, I'm Kels, and welcome to Higurashi, or When They Cry. Kai, how are you doing?
I'm doing good in spooky, scary month, man. I didn't think I'd make it this far, but here we are.
And you may not make it to next week, because we've been on this sort of trend of schoolgirls in horror themes, and it does not get any worse than Higurashi.
Yes, man. And I really want to know, like, what is up with, like, anime culture making super scary schoolgirl stuff. Like, it's like, you know, it'd be horror, cute little schoolgirls. That'd be some pretty good horror.
Man, and there's such a variety, as we've seen. You know, if we compare this to, like, High School of the Dead, there's a stark difference between the horror themes. But they certainly have that common thread, don't they?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, they have the gore and they have the grittiness, but there's a comedy aspect to High School of the Dead. Well, you know what? I don't even think there's a comedy aspect to High School of the Dead, to be honest with you, because I don't even think I laughed. I don't know what make that so you, like, it was like a hype factor, I guess. It was like a, yeah, watching like a Walking Dead type of thing opposed to this, which is like a Stephen King movie, I would have to say.
Totally. Totally. So I would say that, like, that was sort of an over the top adventure that is set in a terrible time, where Higurashi is more of a murder mystery. What's going on in this town, and, you know, how do we explain it? Along with such vile and violent things. So off the top, I want to let you know that Higurashi, When They Cry, is not for the faint of heart, right? It's a great series. However, if you are not comfortable with schoolgirls being violently mutilated, then this is not the show for you. If you are somehow okay with that, though, it has a great mystery in what exactly is going on in this town. Like, the main character is such a swerve from what you expect from the first couple of episodes.
No, for sure. Like, because you have Keiichi, who is, well, I don't even know if Keiichi would be considered the main character. Is that who you're referring to?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. So we're going to get into it. Keiichi is the new kid in town, in this small rural town in Japan. Everyone in this town goes to the same school because they've only got one. And it sort of feels like we're following him for the first part of the story, in like a main character setting. But we find later on that he's not necessarily the focus of the entire series.
Yes. And you see kind of like a... is almost painted to where he is going to be, let's just say the victim isn't who you think is going to be in the series. It's a, no one's even really innocent. It's so interesting. Higurashi is probably the perfect thriller because I don't think you can guess what happens. Like, we have some people, you know, or just people in general who are like, oh, I know what's going to happen. Like, I called this. And I'm like, did you? Because I don't think you could call Higurashi, because it's just so, it's so hidden, like, to the point where the Higurashi is airing now, but its original source material was in 2004. And this is kind of like a, this was, we were led to believe that this was a sequel, but now it might be a tie-in or a retelling. Man, so it's just like a,
man, so we're getting deep into the spoilers right now. So Higurashi, like, season one, you've got a bunch of different sort of stories. It's 26 episodes long, and you've got sort of three or four episodes telling different arcs, right? Different stories in this same exact setting, in this same exact time period, like literally the month of June. And the OG source material was visual novels, right? Like, like games.
Yeah.
You know, and it's super spooky. And now in 2006, we get an anime about it. And it's like, how were these different violent things happening to different people in the same sort of universe, in the same sort of time period? That's because it's all repeating. It's the same thing happening over and over and over to different people in the same town.
Yeah. And there's, it focuses on these young kids who, you know, you think, oh, we're young, we're kids, so it's going to be like happy-go-lucky. And then you find out these kids are actually quite, even with the pranks they play, are quite deranged. Because they're, you have, what's her name? The blonde girl, who's super annoying to me.
Satoko?
Yeah, Satoko, who enjoys playing pranks on everybody. And is kind of like, I guess you would say like a child genius, but some of her pranks are very like borderline destructive. Like the one where she has like the thumbnails and the door handle.
So oh, like yeah, if the you open tacks. The door.
Yeah. I'm just like, it seems like a little bit too far, or maybe a lot of bit too far. So that's kind of like a tip off that things aren't necessarily right. Because why is the little kid making like such dangerous pranks? And then they have all these like innocent games, and it just gives you, it just sets you into like a false sense of security that doesn't even feel secure.
Yes, like from that, looking at the new season, like from that moment, you go, wait a minute, that's kind of fucked up as like a prank. You know, would that really hurt? I mean, superficially probably, but it wouldn't do any real, you know, damage. But still, that's like a vile thing to do at a schoolhouse. But through the first portion of the new season, season three, they've done an incredible job at teasing at the sort of vile things behind the curtain of this village. So the story of the village is that at one point a couple of years back, that some bigwigs were trying to build a dam in the village. And if the dam is built, it's going to, you know, fill with water back, and it's going to flood the entire village, and it's going to, you know, take up all their homes. But the only thing that stopped that was the boss of the entire production being murdered, mutilated, and then hidden, right? Like, they still can't even find parts of him.
Yeah.
And six of the construction workers did it, but only five were found and convicted. There's still one mysterious person out there. And there is a curse that the villagers call it. The curse of the god of the village. That every time during this specific festival that is celebrating the end of winter, two people go missing every year on the same day. So that plays into our mystery of what's going on in this town and why.
Yeah, and the Keichin or Keichun is like kind of questioning it, and it's like the whole village knows what's happening or knows of it, but just plays innocent and dumb and like, it has like such a visible change in their behavior, which yes. The new animation does.
Oh, it's my God. How they do that is so great. Because, you know, you'll have the music and then they'll, one, immediately kill any sort of background music. And two, they will immediately change the way the voice actor is acting the scene. And you see it both, not only with Reyna, who is sort of our crazy person for this arc, but also Mion, you know, the club president, when Keiichi asks her about any sort of weird stuff that happened in the village in the past, and he gets too close to the actual thing, she's like, no, of course nothing is wrong with the village. K-bye. And that takes you, the viewer, and it goes, wait a minute, something is going on. What is going on? It re-piques your interest in the question based on the reaction.
Yeah. And that So that makes Kincha, like, suspicious, but he's, like... We also see that he has a past or a future because how the series starts, you see him with a bat beating some corpse to death. And when he's digging in the junkyard for Rhea to find something that she wants, he's, like, digging with an axe, and then it's kind of giving him flashbacks to when he was beating or bludgeoning something to death. And that was such, like, a cool transition to me when it was, like...
Oh, God.
Yes. And she was like, oh, like, what's going on? And he's just like, oh, got it. Like, it's such a... It's so many chills. Like, it's such a great horror, like, mystery thriller, which, something about me, I don't really watch scary stuff or do horror stuff because of who I am as a person. And you're like, hey, but you're doing super spooky scary month. I was like, I know, I am for you guys, so you're welcome. But, no, so I really...
How did you wind up watching Higurashi?
You know... Like, back in 2006, I want to say it was an accident, but I think I tried to curb my fear of horror and things, and I was like, okay, I'm going to start, you know, I'm not going to start any real life stuff like Friday the 13th or anything like that. I'm going to start with anime, which, to my dismay, I feel like that was even worse. And
I would agree, yes.
So I had heard about it. I think I discovered about it by myself because this was back in the day of YouTube. And then it was like part one, clip one of three, like that lasted 3 minutes. And I would like watch those of when they cry. And also I was like, I used to be into visual novels too. That's actually how I got into Fate as well. But I'd actually browsed over the visual novel for this. I was like, yo, this is kind of cool. And that was, like, less terrifying than the anime. So I'm like, let me go and enjoy or see if I can enjoy the anime. And it was freaking scary and, like, everything that I'm against. But it was written so well, I had to keep watching. So if that's any acclaim to how good it is, I was like, I'm not expecting any of this. But I'm so entranced by it. Like... And I feel like that really speaks to it. Like, even if you don't enjoy, like, horror and gore and things like that, if you enjoy, like, a good story, that's definitely more reason why you should watch Higurashi When They Cry. Or at least certainly, give it a chance.
If you're not put off by gore and violence, which is real, you know, if you have a genuine problem with that, this is not for you. But if you aren't particularly put off by that, then this is such a great story and a great mystery to get into. That we are currently seeing new animation about. Now, to your point previously about Kaichi's flashbacks. So every arc sort of starts with the violence, right? And this violence is of a male with a baseball bat bashing in someone's skull. Like, that's the super gory, spooky thing. And we always start out with that. Mm-hmm. And it gets worse. It gets, oh my God, so much worse. But this is this arc. And throughout this new season, which currently we're at three episodes in, and it appears to be following sort of the arcs that we have already seen from the first season. Kaichi's having these flashbacks of him... using a bat. So when they're trying to dig out the Colonel Sanders stand-in from the garbage heap, and he's using the axe, and he's doing the striking motion, he has a flashback, and he has one at a separate time as well. And it's sort of a flashback or a vision into when he was the one bashing in someone's skull. Now the big question here for this brand new season is what exactly is going on, right? So we're set up to follow the original story of arc number one.
Yes.
But our sort of like hyper main character, Rika Furude, the sort of purple-haired cute one that is yeah. also gone through this forever and ever and ever, she knows everything that's ever gone on in this town because she's been going through it for the last 100 years. And she's tired of it. Like, the end of the last season, or one of the OVAs or something, everybody, like, she finally broke the cycle. However, the big spoiler is that the cycle is not yet broken. She's not out of it yet. But she knows exactly what's going on. So what is she gonna do to change the situation? Which is the exciting part. That's yes. the mystery. Like, where does this go from here? Because we know what's supposed to happen. Probably. But how is it gonna change?
True. And there's like so many theories, which I haven't looked at any of them. I just know that there's a bunch of them. There's a whole thing on Reddit. But I'm just like, so Rika is going to be the key, no doubt, to stopping the cycle. But also, I wonder, will that affect like some of the people who didn't make it out of this series? Like, are they going to make it? Are they still going to like die? I really have a lot of questions, because if I feel like one character's death will like, or not, their lack of their death will change. Dance around these spoilers is fun, but
which character are you talking? Just go ahead and spit it out.
I'm talking about Rina. I feel like, even though I wonder, is like they're gonna actually be something between Rina and Kenshi this time. Like, I wonder
that would be cool, you know.
Yeah.
And so to your point, like the end of the first arc is like, we're not gonna spoil the whole story here, right?
Yeah.
We're only at episode 4 of the new season, which appears to be following the arcs of season 1.
Yeah.
Rina is most likely the one who gets her face smashed in by Kaichi. But the question here is, one, is there going to be a change in how this arc ends? And two, how is this going to impact the rest of the season? Totally. So how the first season of Higurashi sort of worked was, it was more of a collection of stories set in the same time with the same characters. Just different, violent, graphic stories told. Like one of them, Satoko just gets crucified and mutilated. Like, why? Why not, I guess. And that is probably annoying. Yes, and that's probably one of the most gruesome things I have seen from this show.
Yeah.
That and the time that Rika got killed at the shrine. But
yeah,
you know, that's the violent portion. But you know, the question is, how many loops are we going to see as the viewer? How is everything going to proceed from here? Now, if I had to spit a guess, maybe nobody dies. What a big swerve.
I would be here for that, to be honest with you. I'd be here if she was able to stop them from dying and kind of prolong, like, that's the thing that changes, that no one dies, so she can go and, like, that's what, like, saves her. Like, everybody works together to stop the loop. Because, honestly, Rina's death was sad. Like, I know her backstory was messed up, and she did some real hood stuff, but, like, I feel like she actually cared about Home Dude in a weird way.
That's the big thing, too, is everybody's backstory is just tragic. So I forget what Rina's backstory is.
Her mom cheated on her dad. Well, she moved from the city. Her mom cheated on her dad with a new dude, and she like used to idolize her mom. Then she got like super mad. And then she felt like her mom was like disgusting because of what she did to her dad, and she like do anything to protect her dad. And I believe that her dad abused her too, like because he blamed her for her mom's affair. I think that like that's what messed her up mentally.
I know that Satoko's problem was A lot of these are similar because I know that was similar to her problem too. Like, the stepfather's thing.
Yeah.
Is how she got into playing pranks. And I think she was abused as well. So that might be that one. I know that Rena's problem was specifically with mental illness. They were both fashion designers and they moved away.
Yeah.
But like everything is tragic. Everything. Even like Mion's story is tragic.
Yeah. She's like, that was, yeah, Mion. That one hit. Like,
so, she was. One of those things is when you talk about these characters, you think about, you know, like, what is the most notable thing that happens to them? Like, for me, it immediately goes to the mutilation. Like, what violent, gory image was shown to me about this character? And for me, it was her and the fingernails.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
there's so much setup for that, you know? Why? How do we get here? But that's part of this show. Is, you know, you say something like that and you're just like, oh, Mio, right, the fingernails. And that's part of the thing that makes it stick in your mind, you know, for better or worse.
Now it was, that scene was, and especially when I saw, like, I don't know, I've always had like a, I feel like fingernail clippings, like just ripping them off is like,
bro, you ever bump your toe real bad one time and it came off?
Yeah, I'm just like,
oh my god,
like just because there's so much sensory, and just like, even when Tokyo Ghoul did that, I was like, guys, no. So I feel for homegirl.
And man, what got me every time was when they go, okay, the next one, like, oh shit, we ain't done. Fuck
yeah, like I really hope that Mion gets a better ending, like, just because that was hard to watch. And but I'm excited, and I thought it was hilarious with the whole group of people who like thought this was a slice of life.
Like, who thought this was a slice of life?
Apparently there were people on Twitter, like when it first dropped, like thought this was like a slice of life because this is like a whole new demographic. And one of the YouTubers I follow as well, I guess, didn't read the description.
Bro, did they watch the intro?
Yeah, I think they just watched. So, like, hey, I mean,
You know, you face value. I think that's the entire point. You know, that's how this entire show is set up, is to sucker you into thinking that it's going to be okay. But to my surprise, with that expectation that people thought it was a slice of life, when I saw the intro of this new season being like 30 seconds of someone getting murdered, I was like, oh, who actually spent the time and thought this was just a slice of life?
Yeah, no, I was just like, it's definitely something that I'm very excited to see. And especially with it being an original and an older anime, I'm really hyped to see what this new sequel series would do. Like you said, it'd be cool if, it's weird saying it'd be cool if no one dies, because if you watch the first one, that's like enough death for a lifetime. So I'm really hoping that this one has a happier route, but we'll be able to find out by the time episode 4 airs, I feel like.
Yeah, man. Episode 4 is certainly going to tell us how the rest of the season is sitting. But if you can't wait that long for your vile schoolgirl mutilation, there's plenty of stuff out there. There are two full seasons, like three OVAs and a movie. So there is plenty of content along with the original visual novels on Steam, I believe, that will allow you to get your context about what exactly is going on and why.
So, yeah, there's really no excuse not to dive into this. And even if you did watch it without seeing it, just like, oh, I've listened to this, so it's not spoiled. No, we only talked about like the first, realistically, first four episodes. And it's a 24 episode series. So definitely check it out.
And the only reason not to check it out is if you don't vibe with the violence, which is okay. You don't got to like this shit. It's fine.
Yeah.
But if you do, check it out.
Yeah, and if you don't like violence, watch Fruits Baskets, because I'm going to plug this.
It's the cutest spooky show of the year.
Hey, it has a spooky element.
And what is that? Regale me.
That it's real and it's relatable. To be honest,
that's the worst part, man. the reality of the situation just was like, wait a minute, that could be me if I was, I don't know, a fucking Zodiac.
Mm-hmm. You gotta watch it. I'm gonna get you watching.
Put that on the list. That's what we'll do after we're done with the spooky month. So speaking of, coming up next week, we're capping off our spooky month with the spookiest show we have probably both seen, Vampire Night. It's not the source, it's not the material that's scary. It's the dub that's scary.
Yeah, I'm rewatching this for you guys, so you better follow us on Twitter. You better listen to us. You better do all that, because I'm watching Vampire Night again for you guys. Like,
Yuki.
Lord, but yeah. Kamina. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm already mad at myself for watching it again.
I haven't started, but it'll be okay. We'll get there at the end. Only the first season. We're not going to put you through that much.
Yeah, thank God.
But you can catch this show on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Podcast, your preferred pod catcher on your typical Shonen Protagonist feed, or on our website, ytsp.org.
Yes. Or you can catch us on Twitter at URSTP.
Oh my God. Every time. You're TSP. You are TSP.
You are TSP. It's a conundrum. You can catch us at URTSP, which my sticky note says, but my brain did not.
I feel it. It's so real.
So you can catch us there, and you can also catch me at Static Dreads with a Z, where I gained a few followers by talking about Power Rangers in someone else's thread. So watch out, Bob, before Zog, because I'm about to overlap you.
Power Rangers, he's a hero. Wrong one.
No, you're good. I just want to touch on the fact that Power Rangers is technically in that genre.
I swear to God, if you call it an anime, I'm done.
It's not an anime, but it's definitely Japanese Sentai, so I feel like it fits in the context. So, if you see any Power Rangers, you see what you see. Oh, God. Captain Planet.
Heroes. Yeah, but we'll catch you with a ever so slightly less spooky show next week here on your typical Shonen Protagonist.
Y'all be safe.